This is the Last Week in English podcast, winter semester 2019-20, week 5, with me, Mark Jacob, coming to you from the TU Berg Academy, Freiburg. Our guest today was born in Northern Ireland. He studied in England and has also lived in Spain. 3 years ago, he arrived in Germany and since then has been living and working and making music here in Freiburg. He's kindly agreed to come onto the podcast today to tell us about himself and what he's up to here in Freiburg. So, welcome, Gerard Donnelly.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're also known as Jerry.
That's right, yeah. I find it easier for people in Germany to call me Jerry rather than Gerard or Gerard.
Okay, and what do people call you back home?
Jared.
Jared.
Just, yeah.
Okay. So I should call you Jerry.
You can call me Jerry. Jerry. Everyone here calls me Jerry. That's grand.
Okay, Jerry. So before we get to talking about Freiburg then and what you're doing here, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
All right. Well, as you say, I come from Northern Ireland. So that's where I spent the first 20 odd years of my life. Living, studying, and then when I had finished school, I did an apprenticeship and then decided I would rather go to university. I started learning Spanish at university. Well, I didn't start learning Spanish. I'd learned Spanish for quite a few years up to this point, and that's when I decided I wanted to get into Spanish studies to get into translation. And so I went to the University of Portsmouth in the south of England. Lived there for a few years, did my year abroad in Spain there, and then I ended up in Germany because while I was studying in Portsmouth, I met a very lovely German girl, and we ended up coming back here to Freiburg, where I've been living for the past 3 years.
Okay, thanks. Well, that's a nice reason for being here in Freiburg. You said you did an apprenticeship. I mean, a few of our students also do apprenticeships before they come here. Mm-hmm. Was it always your plan to do an apprenticeship, or?
It wasn't really, no. It was just something that when I left school, I sort of felt like I need to do something. And then, so I got into an apprenticeship. I found myself working on building sites, and I decided it wasn't really what I wanted to do. So I left that, and I went into studying media, as I was very interested in, well, radio and in making videos and things like this. So I did my diploma in media. While I was doing this, I was doing a night class in Spanish for my A-level, mm-hmm. As well as a TEFL course alongside that. So by the time I'd finished this, I had enough.
Okay, TEFL for teaching English.
For teaching English, exactly. Mm-hmm. So then when I finished this, I decided, right, well, I would like to continue my Spanish learning at university.
Okay, and then that's what you did? You went to?
That's it, I went to Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, then, which is in Hampshire, so happens to be my home county.
That's it, so we're connected in this
we're connected
way.
That way. And what about your first impressions then of England? I mean, was it much different to Northern Ireland?
It felt a lot different to Northern Ireland, yeah. When I was there for the first time, yeah, obviously the first thing you notice is the accent. And the first thing a lot of people noticed about me was the accent. So it was kind of, that was one of the things that stood out. You know, when you're at home and you're in a familiar place and you're used to a familiar sound around you, which is, so when I went to England, I did feel a bit, yeah, a bit far away from home, even though on reflection I wasn't really. So everyone was still speaking the same language as me, which is not something I can say about being in Germany.
Right.
So yeah, it was it did feel very different at the start. And I settled into it quite a bit after that. But quite an experience.
Apart from the accent, was there anything else that was different there in Portsmouth?
I think just the way you had of interacting with people was quite different. I'm used to sort of saying hello to strangers on the street, for example, as you pass them, and they don't really seem to do that in the south of England. So, so I thought that people were being very rude at the start, but it's just something I had to get used to. That yeah, it was a very good lesson that people are different in different places.
Right. Not everything is sort of different habits.
Different habits, exactly. So that was one thing I noticed from the start. And the pubs closed a lot earlier, I found. And also found that the young people didn't tend to go to pubs so much as in maybe in Northern Ireland would be to the nightclubs or something like that.
Right.
So when I was studying, it was like, as I told you earlier before this podcast, I'd started studying at 23, so I was already a bit of an old man compared to the compared to the 18-year-olds who had started.
Yeah, alongside. I think it makes a big difference at that age.
It does indeed. Yeah, I mean, you've already, you know, I'd already had a bit of experience living outside of home and. You know, so it was kind of a funny experience with people who are maybe here and maybe the first time away from home and all this. So it's not knowing how to boil an egg or anything like this, you know. Not me, but you know what I mean. So yeah, it was a funny experience.
Yeah. And you did Spanish studies then, and you said you learned Spanish already. What was it about Spanish that interested you?
Well, it was something that I'd always find myself coming back to. So I would be, it was one of my favorite subjects at school. It was something that I've found I had a good ability for. And it just always seemed to be something that I kept coming back to. If I didn't, after leaving school and not having studied Spanish in 2 years, I just find myself really wanting to get back to that. Another reason was that my hometown of Derry is quite a big Erasmus town, so there are a lot of we get a lot of students there from Spain every year, and there was always the opportunity for me to interact with people and speak Spanish. And that's after a while I decided, well, I would like to pursue this further and see how far I could go with this. I don't think it's very typical in the UK to speak another language, which is quite sad.
Unfortunately,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And as part of your studies, you went to Barcelona, is that, or near Barcelona?
Yeah, that's right. So I was in Barcelona, not the big city of Barcelona, but in the surrounds of Barcelona. Mm. I was working during my university course. I did a year abroad. Mm-hmm. I went to a little place called Terrassa I was working as an English assistant in a school, a Catalan speaking school, which was again another very interesting experience for me. The problem was that I was there to be immersed in Spanish, but then all of a sudden I was just once again complete fish out of water experience, and I had to pick up Catalan alongside that. So it was quite funny. It was a fun experience, definitely, and I got a lot out of it. Just like working in a little office with maybe groups of four kids at a time, and we would be having conversations in English, and then 20 minutes later we'd get another group of kids to work with, and we'd have to find things to talk about or things to just to get them to develop their fluency in English at the time.
Okay, how old were they?
They were from, so this was the whole kind of secondary school spectrum, so from about maybe 12 to 12 to 16, 17. Mm-hmm. The ones who were doing the higher courses, they weren't doing the English practice.
Right.
But then after I had been working with the secondary school for a while, they said, well, if you have time, you could take on the primary school as well. So on one day of the week, I was having conversation practice with primary school kids, which was exhausting. So it was still a fun time and a really good experience. It was very good to to live in Spain and to take these experiences with me.
Right, and Catalonia is a region which, or some people there would like to break away from Spain and others not. I mean, did you experience any of that when you were there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The year I was there, I was in, this was 2014, so that would have been the year that they were pushing for the vote. So there was a lot of...
And the vote for independence.
The vote for independence. Yeah, yeah, I should probably clarify that. And yeah, it was... there was quite a tangible sense of unrest then. And lots of flyering for the... in support of the referendum and things like this, and lots of banners hanging out, and so it was. Yeah.
Did you then have a personal opinion on that, or did you remain neutral?
I guess it was hard to remain neutral since I was working in a Catalan speaking school, and a lot of people were very, very enthusiastic about an independent Catalonia, and. Yeah, I'll keep my opinions to myself maybe, but
no, no problem.
But it was, yeah, just a very, it was an interesting atmosphere anyway. And it was a time when, when Scotland were also pushing for the referendum. So there was a lot of, it just seemed to be a lot going on at this time.
Right. And maybe we can get this question in here. About things closer to home, the B word, Brexit. So a lot of talk about Brexit focuses on Ireland, Northern Ireland, and the issue there. We've had people on the podcast talking about Brexit before, but maybe they were talking about it from a safer distance. I guess Derry is right on the border there.
That's right.
I mean, maybe you could just give us the Irish perspective.
Okay. Well, I think, coming from a border town, as you say, I mean, I think Northern Ireland has kind of got the raw deal. We've all got the raw deal, maybe, through Brexit. But as the only part of the UK that shares a land border with another country. So, it is quite difficult because we have had... in the past, a lot of conflict about the North and South divide. And then we've had for the past, since the end, the conflict came to the end through the peace process, then things have slowly started to work towards repairing and moving on. And now there's a Brexit and they're looking at the return to a border and a hard border. And so, yeah, it's quite difficult, I think, for Northern Ireland, especially. It's just hard to imagine what's going to happen after Brexit, because we've not had to think about a border for so long. We've been able to move freely across the border without any hassle for years, something that my parents' generation would remember a lot better than mine, about checkpoints and customs and controls.
Oh, soldiers patrolling.
Soldiers I do remember, at least.
You have some memories of that from your childhood.
Yeah, definitely. I remember lots of, I do remember soldiers patrolling, and also there were quite a lot of military barracks in my town. And then when they took all the barracks away, they had these big huge fences around parts of the town, and once they took these fences away, and you could actually see big expanses of land that we had never seen before, because they were covered up. And there's one which is called Ebrington Barracks, and this is a massive plot of land with buildings, and they want to develop this, make it into like hotels and restaurants, and it's a very nice riverfront location. So it's quite good to see this change after a long period of conflict.
Yeah. And so with Brexit, you think that may be a little bit endangered, let's say, this peace, this we've got after the peace process?
I think it's because the balance is very delicate. And a return to hard border, would definitely cause a lot of problems in Northern Ireland. It's very hard to say what is exactly going to happen, but I think it's going to be very difficult.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Germany right now is celebrating 30 years since the fall of the Berlin Wall.
That's also significant. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit of things, the opposite potentially going on back home. Okay. So you're in Germany now, though.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're kind of at home here, could I say?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. So could you tell us a little bit about what it's like for you here in Freiburg?
Yeah. Again, I find myself in a new country, which seems to be a habit of mine. But it was very difficult at the start, I think, mainly because I came here with barely a word of German. So
You'd never learned German at all.
I had started learning after I finished studying. So when I had met my girlfriend, I was in the last year of my Spanish course at university. I was thinking I would really like to learn German now, but I really should focus on my Spanish. So since I had my final exams coming up and my research project and everything, so I thought I'd leave that to the side for now. And then when I came to Germany and it was like, yeah, no other language I'd thought to to learn before. I hadn't. I still find it a very difficult language. There's a lot more rules than we have in English, definitely. And yeah, so
do you speak German with your girlfriend then, or English?
We speak English,
right,
pretty much all the time, unless we're with family or friends, then we have to speak German, which is good because we are now getting more used to speaking German together. And at the start, it was kind of a bit weird to speak German with one another when we've been used to speaking English for so long.
Right, and at work then, could you tell us a bit about your working life here in Freiburg?
Yeah, well, I started off working in a restaurant here in Freiburg, and that was, it was very good of them to take me on. It was a lot of trust from their point of view. So, and that was when I started learning German in this kind of environment, which was pretty much in at the deep end. So it was a very stressful situation trying to work from the ground up. And then after this time, I got a job here in a cafe, a cafe roastery, here in Freiburg, and that's where I've been working for the last 2 years. And yeah, it's been a very rewarding experience. I had had some barista experience before coming to Portsmouth, before coming to Freiburg, sorry. So I was able to use that here, but then the language obviously comes alongside it. So I had to work very hard to understand people here, and especially with the dialect, the Saxon dialect. Yeah, it's something else entirely. That was very difficult. So, I think now I've been 3 years in Freiburg, and I feel I'm getting to a point where I understand a lot better. I can have conversations a lot better, but I still feel I'm lacking a bit of the structure.
Right.
So I need to. So my plan, very soon is to return to structured learning and learn German from the ground up again. So,
and you need to. Well, it takes a bit of time. You need to put a bit of time aside for that. Mm-hmm. And I know that in your free time or spare time, you are a musician.
That's right.
So, Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I've been doing the music thing now for a few years. It started when I was well, I'd say I started out back in Ireland. I used to busk a lot, so I'd play music on the street, and then at one point I went around Ireland just busking before I came to university, and yeah, that was a great experience. And then when I came to university, I had a regular slot in a pub playing music every week. So I would do an Irish set, and that was when I started focusing on Irish music, actually, ironically, when I left Ireland. And yeah, I realized, well, okay, I know pretty much all the words of these songs because I've been hearing them all my life, but I'd never actually sat down to play them for an audience. So it's this is what I find myself doing then for a little while. Every Sunday we'd be going to this pub. We'd do a lunchtime set, start with an Irish breakfast, which is bacon, sausages, eggs, baked beans.
A bit similar to an English breakfast,
Yeah,
then.
exactly. You would call it an English breakfast, we'd call it an Irish breakfast, but it's pretty much the same thing. There's probably a few purists who might disagree, say that one has mushrooms and the other has tomatoes or something. I don't know, but yeah, essentially the same thing. Fried breakfast. Something that you really shouldn't eat before playing a concert because you just want to sleep. But that was good fun. And then yeah, so when I arrived in Freiburg and when I finally settled in, I thought I would take up the music again. And yeah, that's what I've been doing the last 2 years. I play in a pub here in Freiburg now and again, and then I've been putting a bit more work into to do new projects, and so I have a couple of projects coming up in the new year, which are still very much in the early stages yet, so I won't get into them, but yeah, it could be an exciting year next year.
And are you a singer-songwriter then, or are you, do you play guitar, is that
I
right?
play guitar and mandolin. Yeah, that's
A
right.
mandolin, okay.
So on the mandolin, I would play mostly the instrumentals, the jigs and reels, the more traditional stuff. And then on the guitar, I would play folk songs and sing.
Okay. And is that all acoustic?
Acoustic, yeah, that's right.
Okay. And do you play alone, or do you play with other musicians now?
Well, I play with so my girlfriend plays the accordion and the tin whistle very well, and we started working together on the music set back in England. So then when we came to Freiburg, we started that up again. And so yeah, sometimes we play as a two piece, sometimes I play alone, but it adds a lot more depth and atmosphere if you're playing as two people. You can do a lot more with it.
And how do, let's say, audiences in Freiburg react to Irish music or traditional Irish music?
Very well, actually. Yeah, I mean, this Irish music seems to be something that has traveled over the world quite a bit, and you can recognize quite a lot of the songs wherever you go. And sometimes I'm actually very surprised at some of the songs that people recognize, or some of the songs that people request, maybe some very obscure Irish songs. Yeah, the response has been really good here in Freiburg.
And because I heard you had some really long encores, and that the audience wouldn't let you go home. Is that right?
That might have happened once or twice, yeah. I think there's been times, yeah, where I have no voice for the next 2 days after a concert. If we've been asked to stay and play a bit longer, then I mean, it's a lot of fun as well. And when you have a receptive audience, and it's very hard to say no when you're enjoying yourself. And if they want some more songs, then yeah, it's in. There have been times I've played an extra full set, or I've paid like an extra hour, an extra 2 hours. I suppose if the atmosphere is good, you know, and then it's usually worth staying for. So I don't mind.
You mentioned earlier on this apprenticeship in media studies, is that right? Media design?
I was doing a diploma in media. It was audiovisual.
So that kind of could link into music. I mean, has that linked into your musical career in any way? Have you used that knowledge?
I suppose just understanding how to set up sound systems, that's been pretty useful for that. I mean, because then you can obviously lend that to setting up your stage, setting up your PA system and everything. And it was something I enjoyed doing. And but it was mostly either radio work or video work, video editing, photography. So it was quite a lot of different aspects to this one course. And very enjoyable.
I mean, could you link that, say, the video maker? Do you have any videos of your sets? Or
I don't actually, because I'm usually on the stage, so I can't take the videos, which is really frustrating.
You need an assistant.
So I need an assistant for that.
And, if there's anyone out there with some video recording experience, you can get in touch.
Get in touch, yeah.
I mean, is that something you considered then, expanding? I mean, you must have a Facebook page.
I do, yeah. I have, I've now set up a Facebook page, which is Jared Donnelly Music, where you can also find it just with Facebook/ Jerry Austeri.
Jerry Austeri, okay, with a G.
With a G, yeah.
Jerry Austeri.
That's important. Yep. So you'll be able to find my Facebook page on that, and some photos and a couple of videos.
Okay, so you have got some.
Yeah, just things that people have recorded live and sent to me. So at the minute, it's still in its early stages.
Okay.
Slowly gaining material for promotion.
I shall have a look afterwards.
Yeah, go for it.
And I mean, you said you didn't want to go into too much detail about the projects you've got coming up, but is there anywhere that people can see you live soon?
Soon? I think the calendar is free for the rest of the year. So in the next year, should definitely keep an eye out, an ear out for St. Patrick's Day. That's March the 17th.
Right.
And that will be confirmed very soon.
Okay.
But more projects hoping to have in the pipeline before then, because March is quite a long way away yet.
Yeah. Well, we don't know when the listeners are listening to this. Actually, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe you'll be playing every St. Patrick's Day.
We'll see. that's the plan anyway. So yeah, St. Patrick's Day, the national day of Ireland.
Yeah.
St. Patrick, the patron saint, obviously. And
yeah,
this is another one of those days that just seems to have been adopted all over the world, because it usually involves a lot of drinking. And
right, okay.
So, it seems to be now, yeah, St. Patrick's Day is used as an excuse just for promotions. I've seen, like, when I was living in England, I saw pubs advertising St. Patrick's Weekend. it's completely missing the point. But yeah, that's how it goes. I mean, it's the same with, like, Oktoberfest. So we see that all over the world now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about drinking as well.
It's about drinking as well, yeah. You can sell lots of drink.
So you've obviously got plans for your music and music making. Have you got any other plans for the future, like staying in Freiburg, moving away with your work life, maybe doing something different?
Well, that could be the case. I mean, I don't know when, but yeah, in the near future, maybe moving away to... I don't know if staying in Freiburg or going to a different part of Germany. But yeah, we'll have to see. At the moment, just we're quite settled here in Freiburg, and it's a very friendly town.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, we might find ourselves somewhere else in the future. We're not sure yet.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd really think, oh, I'd really like to do that?
Well, I don't know. I haven't really got anywhere on the radar at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. In the present moment, then.
Just in the present moment, just enjoying the present at the moment.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, a question here about the university then. I mean, Freiburg is a university town. Mm-hmm. How much do you notice that? I mean, working in Momo or doing your gigs, walking around?
Okay, well, yeah, you definitely notice that when the during the semester time, there's a larger volume of people here in Freiburg. And then in the cafe, we do have a lot of regular customers who are students. But other than that, I don't really go into the campus area so much, so I haven't noticed very much. But yeah, of course, also in the cafe, we're working with students at the weekend and
right.
things like this. So.
Okay, so some of your colleagues there are students.
Some of my colleagues are students, yeah. So.
Yeah. And do you ever leave Freiburg then? Do you ever go to Dresden or Chemnitz? Or
yeah, I like going to Dresden, so it's a nice town. Yeah, try and go there every once in a while, just to get out of Freiburg, to have a change of scenery. And of course, it's a much bigger city, so you have a lot to do there. And then outside of Germany, well, I do try to go back to Ireland like twice a year.
Right.
So,
I mean, do you miss it? Do you miss Ireland?
I do actually, because I've always been used to living somewhere near the sea. So when I was living in Portsmouth or living in the north of Spain or living in Derry, never really that far from the sea. And this is, living in Freiburg is quite far inland for me. So it's, so that was a very different experience, I think, to be living somewhere so far inland for me, when I'm used to, I don't know, just having the beach on my doorstep or, for example. So,
right. I never thought of that. Yeah. How far is Derry from the sea?
You'd be there in half an hour.
Right.
So
okay.
20 minutes.
And Portsmouth is nice. South Sea Beach.
Portsmouth. Yeah. Portsmouth. I was living on the beach almost. I would leave my house, and there was the sea.
Yeah.
You know, it was there on your doorstep.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. And if you're going to say to our students here, visit Derry, and like what would you recommend to them?
Halloween, definitely. I think it's something that not many people think about. It's not celebrated so much here in Germany or indeed in England, but in my hometown there's a massive Halloween celebration. I've just actually just come back from a week in Derry for Halloween.
I didn't realize that either, that it was so big there.
Yeah, it gets bigger every year, and the sort of for the last 30 years it's been getting bigger and bigger. This year there was something like 140,000 people came to Derry for these celebrations, and there was a week long of I don't know, festivities, music acts. They had a big stage, and there was a parade and fireworks and all sorts of things. And another thing is that everyone gets dressed up. It's something that you wouldn't see anywhere else. It's just everyone is dressed up as one thing or another, and the standard of the costumes and the thought that goes into it is really, it's quite incredible. I remember at school we'd always be like talking, and as soon as October came around, we'd always be like saying, what are you going as for Halloween? Or what are you dressing up as for Halloween?
Okay, and do you go to a party then, or just out into the streets?
You can go into the streets. There's, there's so much going on throughout the town. They've set up stages, and they have street performers and all sorts of things everywhere. Tours, through the town and through the haunted parts of the town, for example. And yeah, it's quite a big deal there.
Okay, so, well, there we go. There's Jerry's tip for Derry. Halloween, although it clashes a little bit with the semester here, but never mind. Maybe they could go away for a few days. Okay, thanks a lot, Jerry. It's been great having you on. Okay. I'm looking forward to some point coming to your concerts, and maybe you could come back again with a song or two. That would be really great.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd be delighted.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. It's been fun.
My pleasure.
All right.